Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I want to welcome you to another program here from Watchman's Cry. And today we're going to be looking at part two of a topic that we discussed in the previous program about an EMP attack on America or the West. And if you haven't heard part one, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com. And in that program, I shared about a prophetic vision that my sister had a few months ago in November, where she saw an EMP attack in a prophetic dream. In that dream, it was very detailed, and it occurred in Austin, Texas. You can go to the website and listen to it or read it, because I have it in print also. So on this program, we're going to touch several topics, and they all relate to an EMP attack on the United States of America. I'm going to share some of the responses that I got from you, the listeners, in emails and in messages. But I also want to talk about the government report that has been released recently by the United States government. And I want to spend some time on this because this report really goes into the magnitude of threat that an EMP would do to the United States. But not only the United States, our allies to the West, to NATO. I know there's a tendency for some people to see the topic of an EMP and it's a little bit scary, it's suspenseful, etc. But then people will have the tendency to set it aside and say, but then again, something like that could never really happen in America because, well, it just wouldn't. And part of that maybe is the invincibility complex that people fall under. You know, most people never want to think of the worst. They don't want to worry. They don't want to have fear. So they put something like this aside. And admittedly, I have also done that before. I've done that, folks. When considering an EMP over the years, there was a part of me that said, yeah, it could happen, but then again, why would it? So why worry about it? Now, that was a few years ago, but since then, I have been doing research. I have seen the geopolitical changes that the world has been going through over the years. But then when my sister talked to me a few months ago in November, and she shared that she had the prophetic dream about an EMP, it got my attention because I was just wondering, why? Why did she see this? So in the last program, I talked about it. I went into great detail. Some of you wrote your thoughts about it. And you can find that on the website, watchmanscry.com. But in this program, I want to go deeper than that. And we're going to visit, we're going to discuss the actual concern that has been raised by Homeland Security, by congressmen, by scientists here in the United States of America about the threat of an EMP. After I released that prophetic warning, in both audio and written format, I got a lot of emails from many of you who shared your ideas. It was a powerful prophetic dream, folks. So if you have a chance, go read it. But some of you shared your thoughts. And also I got emails from a number of you who have had similar prophetic dreams. And that's one of the exciting things about the time we live. Right now, folks, God is pouring out his spirit and he is sending out a warning to his people. He's visiting his children with prophetic glimpses and visions, because it was prophesied that that would happen in the book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams, the handmaidens, the young. So God is doing something, folks. And many of you have had similar glimpses. There's a lot of people out there who are seeing things take place in the future. And a lot of people are having prophetic dreams or visions. They're sharing them on YouTube. And some of you have experienced these things. And it's not an accident that it's going on, because God is trying to warn his people that some challenging days are in the future. And he wants us to get ready. He wants us to be prepared. So that's what we do here at Watchman's Cry. I share warnings. I share political commentary. I share what time it is, which, by the way, folks, is another important thing to keep in mind: the lateness of the hour, the lateness in the day, the lateness in the timeline of mankind. The hour is getting late, folks, and eventually It's going to culminate where the Lord God is going to shake the earth, where he's going to shake this planet and shake the church. And he wants all of his people to be ready. He wants his bride to be ready. I know it's human nature to put off until tomorrow the important things, the spiritual renewal, the spiritual recovery, whatever the word is, it's human nature to put it off. But I want to encourage all of you that are listening to not put it off. If some of you are not quite where you should be, don't put it off, folks, because God wants us to be ready and he wants to use you. In the wide range of the listening audience out there, there are some of you that maybe are not satisfied with your spiritual walk at the moment, but you know what to do. You know what to do about it because you've tasted of a strong spiritual walk in the past. And you know what it means to press on. You know what it means to set your face like flint. You know what it means to stay on the road without veering. But you haven't done it lately. But now's the chance, folks. We all have a chance. We have today, so don't waste today. Because God is ready to minister to you. He's ready to heal. He's ready to hear your prayer. He's ready to hear the cries of the person who allowed maybe a little bit too much spiritual neglect in their lives. God's ready to hear your prayer. So let's apply the spiritual measures and the disciplines and whatever it takes to try harder and to forsake the ways of Babylon and Egypt. All right, folks? The Lord loves you and he cares about you. So in this program, we're going to continue the discussion we were having. And also, we're going to look at the official documents that the United States government released about an EMP attack. Now, it's real interesting that after my sister had that prophetic dream in November, just a few weeks ago, the U.S. government released a report that was written several years ago by a committee to study EMPs. It was a congressional committee to study the threats and the magnitude of present threats around the world between our adversaries and us, which would be Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, and others. And they formed a committee to examine and analyze the possibility of it actually happening. And the committee also studied what the ramifications would be if an EMP were to be used against the United States or the West or Israel or Taiwan or Japan. They were very thorough. So I want to invite you to listen to this program in its entirety, take some notes. Now, I'm going to share some of the responses I got after I released the audio about my sister's prophetic dream about an EMP. I got emails from some of you, so I want to start out by reading some of the responses. If you haven't heard or read the prophetic dream that my sister had, you can go to my website at watchmenscry.com. You can read it, and then that'll bring you up to speed. But as a quick synopsis, my sister was in Austin, Texas in her prophetic dream on the freeway when the EMP occurred and all the cars stalled. The car she was in coasted onto an exit called St. John's Exit, and the car ended up at an intersection by a gas station. She got out of the car, and when she did, she saw an airplane fly right over her, and it crashed onto the freeway in a giant explosion. So then she ran to a concrete garage that was nearby, and the remainder of her prophetic dream occurred in that garage. And while she was in there, government people showed up, a FEMA lady of some sort, or maybe it was a military contractor, showed up in the same garage and began disclosing what the future plan was going to be. They were going to divide up the people into different groups and pretty much corral the general population and the public. And then the dream progressed to where my sister saw soldiers on the street. Soldiers who were dressed in camouflage, but they had a red band around their arm. A lot of things were in that dream, and so I want to encourage you, go read it. But in this program, we're going to talk about the responses that some of you shared. Also, one more thing, in that prophetic dream, my sister said that the FEMA worker who appeared in the garage offered the people a diversion or something to distract them, and three golf carts appeared. I wondered about it because I didn't know if a golf cart could work after an EMP attack. And in the previous program, I mentioned that. I said it. Also in the article, I mentioned it. Some people wrote me, and some of those who wrote were in the field of electronics. So there's a possibility that a golf cart could work after an EMP because in theory, a golf cart runs with an electric motor, but an electric motor is very simple. It has a coil, it has magnets, the stators, the brushes, and when a charge goes through the electric motor, it makes it spin, and an EMP would not fry that part of it, but a golf cart does need electrical energy, which comes from a battery. So the question was, could a battery survive an EMP? And so some of you wrote and said, yes, possibly, if it was shielded or protected. Of course, the challenge would be, how do you recharge it once the charge runs out? And I got online and I researched this, and it turns out that it's possible to use solar power after an EMP to charge a battery. So this is something to consider. If you are capable and you understand the science of electric motors or solar power, maybe this is something to consider. But I have right here some of the letters that I got. This one comes from Paul. It says, "Hi, Nathan. I was an electrician for 3 years, and I worked on circuit boards for 3 years. I am not an electrical engineer, but I have a lot of experience in electronics. The batteries in a golf cart will hold their charge through an EMP event, and the electronic control circuits are pretty basic, so your cart will work. That is, until the batteries run down. Then you will either swap them out for new batteries or plug in a working battery charger if available. You don't have to put batteries in a Faraday cage, only sensitive electronics, i.e. radios." I hope this was some help. Well, thank you, Paul, for sharing that. So that's something to keep in mind, folks. If you're able to research this further, anyone out there, for yourself, this is possibly something to consider. And maybe the dream that my sister had included this extra tidbit of information to help out the remnant, to help out God's people. Maybe God wanted some of you knowing that this is possible in the event. So moving on, this is from a person, TW. It says, "Hi, Nathan. I also had a dream of an EMP attack. It was 2 or 3 years ago. I saw airplanes falling out of the sky and immediately knew what was happening. It is still very vivid. I was at someone's house standing on the porch with my friend's husband, who happens to be a first responder. The sky was full of billowy clouds, and all of a sudden we saw planes falling straight down from the sky. Not in a nosedive, they were falling straight down. We knew it was an EMP. We took off, running to help people. That's the end. I think the only reason he was in the dream is because he is a first responder." So there's another example right there of someone else seeing an EMP. And how interesting is it, folks? The planes will fall out of the sky. You know, that's going to be so horrible when that takes place. I cannot imagine what it would feel like to be in an airplane and then suddenly it just turns off. It stops running and then the airplane begins to fall out of the sky, tumble downwards. I actually thought that a plane could glide, but then again, if the pilot is not able to control the flaps and the rudders and the ailerons and all that, I guess the plane's going to be in trouble. So, wow, that is not a good image to think about. Okay, so moving on. Okay, this is from KH. He says, "Hi, Nathan. I have added this dream to your growing file of dreams and visions regarding an EMP attack. The golf cart battery might survive if the bomb wasn't very large or if the cart was far away from the center. Sophisticated electronics would suffer the most. EMP bombs can be non-nuclear as well as nuclear. Perhaps if the golf cart was a symbol for an unusual mode of transportation, not to be taken literally." Maybe that's true, folks. So that's something to keep on the table. It goes on, "The tunnel seems to represent the days of darkness coming after the loss of electricity and shortage of food during the war years. As a protective device, the tunnel would stand for the refugees temporarily set up for the people of God." And you know, folks, that is true. That's something to think about. Because the book of Revelation talks about God's people, the remnant, going into the wilderness to survive and to weather the tribulation. But we also read in the gospel narrative from Jesus that during the time of the end, it's going to be dark. That's why the parable of the 10 virgins included 5 and 5. And the whole premise of the parable of the 10 virgins has to do with having lamps. Lamps that have light in them. Lamps that have fuel in them. Lamps that have been maintained and not neglected. Why did Jesus say this? It's because in the end times, it's going to be dark. Perhaps the tunnel did represent the darkness during that season. But the letter goes on. "All people FEMA finds will be sent to FEMA camps. When the food runs out, they will either starve or be cannibalized." Whoa. I know that sounds far-fetched. It does, doesn't it, folks? That sounds far-fetched that food would run out and people would resort to drastic measures like cannibalism. Could that ever happen? People are unpredictable, aren't they?
Nathan, what's your position on cannibalism during times of crisis and doom when there's no food? What do you think?
Well, do I need to answer that question, folks?
Yes, Nathan, please answer it.
Nathan, come on, answer it for us. Is it okay?
All right, since I'm getting pressure from the audience, I'll answer the question. The official Watchman's Cry position is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a child of God, been born again, washed in the blood, Jesus lives in you and the Holy Spirit abides within, you are not allowed to eat people, okay? Now, if there are any fringe Christians out there, you know, like the kind that dance with rattlesnakes and do weird things, those who are extreme, this applies to them as well, okay? No chewing on people's hand or arm. If you are walking in a post-apocalyptic America and you're hungry and your stomach's growling and you come across a human carcass, you're not allowed to eat them, okay, folks?
Just a nibble, Nathan?
No. No nibbles. No curious tastes or any of that. All right, folks? So are we in agreement with this? Anyone have questions in the back of the room? Anyone? Raise your hand if you don't. Okay, good. So we're all in agreement. Everyone in agreement, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Bueno.
Yes, but we're all in agreement. No one's going to eat people. Okay, so moving on. This comes from Frank. He says, rather interesting article, most likely not far from what will actually occur. Just a note concerning cars, golf carts, and batteries. Cars or trucks, 1984 and before, will be fine as they do not have electronic ignitions of computer chips. They have points, plugs, and a distributor cap, which an EMP will not affect. I remember those, folks. I grew up in the 70s. I had my first car in the 70s, and I remember the cars back then. You wanted to tune up a car, you would buy new points and a distributor cap. Cars were so easy to work on back then. Oh man, I miss those. By the way, if it's in your control to do it, perhaps having an old vehicle, just in case, it probably wouldn't hurt. So I'll place that out there. And actually, old vehicles that would qualify are very cheap these days. You can look on Craigslist and find cars that are that old just for a few hundred dollars. So who knows, folks? If some of you have the ability and you have the mechanic know-how and prowess, maybe that's something to think about. It goes on, batteries will not be affected either. Golf carts use batteries as power and most likely have no computer chips in their construction. Not that a dream would define any of this, but just a note for your own reference. Concerning Jesus, well, you couldn't be more on target. When we've tried to talk to people about this impending event and to think about their faith, they just want to laugh behind our backs. So now we say nothing. We want nobody to know where we are or how much we've prepped, including family, which very often are the worst. Nice article. I do enjoy reading your posts. Thank you, Frank. You know, folks, that's something else that probably a lot of you are very familiar with, and you know about it all too well. The conflict of friends and family who observe what you're doing. They see your preparation. They see the efforts that you're putting into it. And unfortunately, they also include mocking and scoffing and insulting. And I know that's no fun. It's not. But the thing that's going to be so amazing is that those who have prepared will be ready. It's just like when Noah was building the ark. You know, he was hammering away for years and years, and people were probably standing on the sidelines, hurling insults, mocking him, scoffing him.
Hey, Noah, where's your flood? Where's the rain? Hardy, har, har, har.
But then when the day came, when God shut the door of the ark and the clouds burst and the ground erupted with the wellsprings from the fountains of the deep, those people weren't laughing anymore, and they weren't mocking and scoffing. Same thing's going to happen during the time of the end. Those who have prepared will be ready if the preparations were balanced with spiritual preparation. Those of you who have prepared are going to have to do some deciding after that, aren't you? You're going to have to decide who you want to share your hard work with. And you're going to have to decide who you can trust, which is another thing. Can I trust them? Imagine, folks, after the lights go out, or even if it's in a different type of situation, but it's in a situation of martial law, national emergency, where the rules have changed, life is no longer normal, and it will be the survival of the fittest, the survival of those who are ready, who are prepared. It's going to be hard during those days, and it's going to be a lot of decisions that need to be made. Because every one of you who are listening to me right now, if you do experience what we're talking about, some sort of apocalyptic event, if you find yourself in that scenario, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to come up with policies for your family. You're going to have to come up with policies for how to approach others around you, the neighbors, people walking by, vagabonds, people knocking on your door, people asking for handouts, people who are threatening, people who are scouting. Because you see, folks, during times of crisis like this, not everyone has good intent. There will be people who have ill intent, and there will be people who send out scouts and decoys, red herrings, to go knock on doors and find out if there are resources at a certain location. How does that work? Well, a decoy knocks on your door, kind of looks around, cases the place. Maybe they ask for some water or something light, piece of bread, or and then if they notice that you are equipped, some of those people could go back to their band of rogues and inform them that, hey, here's a target to loot. So, wow, folks, just thinking about this, we're going to need the mind of Christ during these times. We're going to need it, folks. Every one of you are going to need it. You know, when we look at the days of the Serbian War, Yugoslavia, Bosnia, it was horrible. If you were able to hear some of the testimonies from those who endured it, I've heard some pretty bad horror stories. And some of the things that I'm describing right now actually did occur in Bosnia. It became dog eat dog. It became Lord of the Flies. It became survival of the fittest. It wasn't pretty. The rules of humanity were thrown out the window for some people. And it became a game of cat and mouse and survival. And I'm in this for myself and my family. And I don't care about you. And who else can I spoil or loot or take from? We saw that happen in Serbia and Bosnia. It was terrible. Could that happen in America, folks? Could people resort to animalistic behavior like wolves, like packs of raving, rabid dogs? I think so, because Jesus tells us the love of many will wax cold. And it's not going to be pretty. Perilous times would arrive. People loving themselves and hating others. Man, Nathan, you're scaring me. That's kind of scary what you're saying. Folks, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to bring reality to the table. I'm attempting to share reality. And in doing so, I'm hoping that it would then challenge every one of you that are listening to take the proper measures to prepare for this, both physically and spiritually. Spiritually, folks. So the rogues that are out there that would try to do harm to God's remnant, what is the countermeasure for that? Well, I can think of a spiritual countermeasure where it will be very important to sanctify your property. It'll be very important to sanctify your dwelling place and to pray protection on all four corners of your property, folks. It'll be very important for the man of the house, the priest of the home, and if there's not a man, for the lady to do likewise, to cleanse the property and to make sure that there are no spiritual breaches where the enemy could gain a foothold. And then ask God to encamp his angels around your property and around your loved ones, around your house, in your house, outside the house. We have that privilege, folks, to ask God to protect. And God says the promises of God are yea and amen. That means that that promise, it says, the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him and they deliver. So the promise of angels to protect, I want that one, folks. I want to get a hold of that one. And make sure you do also. All right, so let's continue. Okay, this is from Pete. Pete says, Nathan, any vehicles stored underground are not affected by the pulse. Where did all the FEMA vehicles go that we saw several years ago? Oh, that's interesting. There's also a metal called MU. It's used as a magnetic shield. Hope this helps. Thank you, Pete. In my sister's dream, it took place in a parking garage that was three stories tall. So maybe, right, folks, all that concrete, the concrete acted as a Faraday of some sort or a protector or buffer for the golf cart. So interesting. Of course, most people don't have an underground shelter to hide a vehicle, but that might be why they weren't affected. Now, Pete brings up the FEMA vehicles. I remember that several years ago, there were some people who were reporting in different parts of the country, many white FEMA vehicles parked in fields, hundreds of them. And there was another picture I remember seeing where there were FEMA vehicles at an airport landing strip. Why, folks? Well, that's one of the mysteries that we're still trying to figure out. But moving on, this comes from Jane. It occurred to me while reading about the golf carts that not everyone would have access to anything like that. So it's not a privilege that everyone would get or have. That's true. Even if it was possible to extend their capability to be powered somehow. But we do have bicycles that are not dependent upon a power source besides us. So it would seem practical and wise for us to start purchasing them for such a time as this. I have watched many World War II documentaries where people in Europe were able to circumvent ordinary travel obstacles or enemies with them, with bicycles. That's a very good point. And some of you out there already own bicycles. And if you don't, maybe that's something to think about. Something to save up for, to try to acquire a bicycle. So add that to the list, folks. If you can get one, you can find some. You can buy them used on Craigslist or in garage sales. You don't have to. I know they're expensive new, but bicycles are one of those things that they're pretty inexpensive to obtain. So put that on the list, folks, because you never know. All right. Here's another letter. It says, oh, wow, that was great, Nathan. After hearing the New York baby murder law news, I hit my knees to pray about it in heartbreak. And this person's referring to the new law in New York. The legislator passed and approved the murder of babies in full term. Horrible law. That's now in the books in New York. And folks, that's not going to go unaddressed by God. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. And New York is sowing a whirlwind right now. And that's what this person's referring to. I hit my knees to pray about it in heartbreak. While calling out to God, I saw New York on fire, so red and all engulfing. It was just in a blip scene. Judgment on that city is on its way. And though this vision is tough, it did encourage me. I have read One Second After and have been preparing ever since. So the vision goes along with so much of what I'm seeing and hearing. I can't wait to go home. Every day I pray for lost humanity and for God to be glorified. Thank you for sharing this. I will share it as well. God bless. Thank you, listener. I didn't have their name, but looks like people are talking about it, folks. It's on the table. It's a threat. And for those of you watching the news, even right now, the world's deteriorating. Venezuela is so close to becoming another Vietnam. So close, folks. It's time for us to be vigilant and smart. So anyway, moving forward. Okay, this one's a little bit long, but I'm going to go ahead and read it because there's a lot here. Okay, here we go. I did a quick search and found information on golf cart batteries regarding the EMP attack. And they had an article from backdoorsurvival.com that talked about alternative transportation following an EMP. And the article actually said that a golf cart could survive an EMP attack. So, wow, folks. How amazing is that, that my sister dreamt about something that could actually work? Very interesting, which proves, once again, that this is a God dream. It was a warning from the Holy Spirit. But the person goes on, but I think there is something more disturbing about it in terms of what it symbolizes in the dream. Talking about the golf cart. The golf cart is like a distraction. The way parents would with their children while waiting for something. Telling the children to take turns with a battery-operated kiddie car. That's true, folks. A distraction. Okay. In truth, a fascist regime treats the public in the same way. People are treated as though they can't make their own decisions, are untrustworthy, and must be told what to do and how to do it. They must follow orders and respect those in authority. If there's a global government takeover during an EMP, their attitudes will be of this nature. People will be treated as children and told what to do with an attitude that people should respect their authority. That's true. Respect authority, respect the government, obey the government, etc. And you know, folks, there's a lot of Christians right now that are taking hold of, and God bless them, but they're taking hold of the rhetoric of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's saying some very disturbing things. He is behaving in a very disturbing way. And if it wasn't Donald Trump, and it was someone else behaving in the exact same manner, if it was a Democrat behaving in the exact same manner as Donald Trump, the evangelicals would be having a fit right now. They would be freaking out. There would be a call to arms. The patriots would be upset. The oath keepers would be upset. Veterans would be upset. But since it's Donald Trump and Trump has been promoted as safe, his behavior, which is very disturbing, is being given a free pass. And how amazing is it, folks? Trump declares a national emergency and Christians are okay with it. The evangelicals are okay with it. Patriots who in the past were worried about Jade Helm, a government takeover, a false declaration of martial law, or a national emergency. People were concerned about that just a few years ago, Jade Helm 2015. But now Donald Trump is doing those very things. He's utilizing the military domestically. He's called a national emergency. He's talking about building a wall, which if Obama was talking about building a wall, folks, think about that. People would be crying. What are you doing? Is that a new Iron Curtain for us? I don't think so. But Trump's doing it and he's getting a free pass. This is insanity, folks. We are watching insanity. This person goes on, and that's what they're saying. A fascist regime is brilliant, the way that they can offset the vigilance of people. They're brilliant in the way that they can minimize the threat and make it seem like a reward or a favor from the government, from Big Brother. So, FEMA will use the EMP attack to empower them over helpless citizens. They will take over everything after that. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, medical care, thereby enforcing people to be dependent on them. People who accept the beast system mentally will be as children following orders with no resistance to the takeover, as exemplified in the dream regarding taking turns riding the golf cart. No one questioned who the FEMA people were or what their intentions were. No one considered their rights, only that they would receive care and substance for their needs by the promise of help. Now, take this to another level. The FEMA people did not say, let's pray. So taking the golf cart through the secret tunnel could symbolize the transition of faith in God. If so, then the golf cart will represent, in reality, two choices of a journey we must all face. To trust in the FEMA people and acceptance of a faithless evil empire to provide for our needs, like a child with strict legalistic parents who expect complete obedience, or the other choice could be the journey of faith in the Holy Spirit and the light of God or Heavenly Father to provide all their needs. The wind at the end of the tunnel symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The light symbolizes God. This dream means that when the EMP attack comes, we must choose to follow the beast system or look to God, who will make a way where there seems to be no solution. We must have 100% faith and be spiritually led by the Holy Spirit to safety. Amen. That is so true. I have one more note to add. If the brother is you, Nathan, then you must pray diligently for the necessary spiritual power as represented by the extra battery to lead people in diligent faith to full dependency in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is what people will need, as well as be matured in their faith. Final thoughts is the impact on our emotions from the ramifications of electrical power being suddenly shut off. Whoa, you know, folks, that's true. The emotional impact of life changing in 1 second, the emotional toll that it's going to take, the emotional draining because of the efforts to survive. It's going to be hard on a lot of people, folks. It's going to be difficult for people to make the adjustments. And also, it's going to take a soul that has been tempered by the Spirit of God and strengthened by the Spirit of God to be able to weather this. Because in reality, we're not just talking about people having to walk to the river to look for water. We're not just talking about observing people who are inconvenienced. We're actually talking about people who are going to experience horrible sights. They're going to experience shock and horror because people will be dying. People will perish. There will be houses where some of the inhabitants did not fare well. If it's in the middle of the summer and they're elderly, there will be a lot of residents that don't make it. And we're going to go into that in a little bit when we read the government report. But just as a quick summary, the government report did say, and this is from their numbers, that in the event of an EMP attack, if it lasts 1 year, and for the most part, that's how long it would last, because in order to turn things around, in order to get the grid back up, the electrical power stations that generate electricity will need their equipment replaced. And one of the biggest items that's going to be damaged during the EMP will be the high voltage transformers. And those things are so huge. They fit on the back of a semi. They're huge. And you can't just go to Kmart and buy one. They are custom made from overseas. In order to get them from overseas to here is also a big challenge, because it takes semis, it takes vehicles, it takes cars, it takes cranes to move them into place. How's that going to work if they're all fried? If all the semis are fried, how do you relocate from a ship at the coast onto the flatbed of a semi that's not fried and then drive it inland several hundred miles to a state that needs it replaced? How do you do that after an EMP? It's going to take a while, folks. The vehicles will have to be fixed or imported. Semi-trucks, cranes, heavy equipment, and that's going to take months, if not years. So the congressional report noted all of this, and it says that within 9 months to a year, get this, folks, if an EMP event occurred in the United States, the region affected was the entire country from coast to coast, 90% of the population will perish in that 1 year. 9 out of every 10 persons. So only 1 out of 10 will survive, according to their report. So something to think about, folks. So the emotional impact that this person's sharing is going to be a vital challenge that all of you will have to deal with and come to terms with. It'll take people being strong in their heart and determined in their heart to trust in God. It'll depend on you if you're the man of the house or a leader of your house, or if people look to you for leadership and guidance, protection, advice, counsel. It's going to be up to you, my friend. So it's time to get strong mentally. And the people of God have that ability. That is one of the abilities and privileges that we have at our disposal. We have the ability to have the mind of Christ and to have the peace of God to control us and shelter us and guide us, protect us. The peace of God, folks. So I always come back to this. I come back to it over and over, and I include the spiritual challenge because I must. It is impossible to do anything without Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That includes surviving an EMP and surviving and weathering and navigating in a healthy fashion a post-EMP world. So moving on, this person writes, the impact on our emotions from the ramifications, there's going to be emotions. As shown in the dream, planes, cars, helicopters, trucks, etc. were all crashing into each other. If we see one car crash, it's pretty awful, especially if serious injury has occurred. But what if an event makes this the norm, rather than the exception, where there is no safety in vehicles, where airplanes are crashing with massive fireballs and debris is flying everywhere? People will be in shock. This mental state is what the beast system will use to its advantage, and most people will be complacent, even thankful for any help they can get, especially if they're injured. Their mental state will be like that of a child looking for help and direction. Oh, wow. Amen, amen, amen. This is so true, folks. And then they go on. This is the time when we must look for our faith and knowledge in the Word of God. Amen to that. Amen. And our hearts clean before God. Again, amen. Do we live by faith in God's Word and have the Holy Spirit? You see, it will be His holy guidance that we must lean on during these times. In full faith, with knowledge in the Word, with discernment and truth. Our lives depend on it. Our eternal life depends on Him. This is beautiful, this letter right here. And it's so true, folks. It is so true that we're going to need to depend on God in that fashion. I know that this is very sobering. I know that what I'm saying is serious, and it's disturbing. I know it is, folks. But we can't hear about these things and then, you know, set them aside and say, okay, I know it's coming, but I don't want to think about it. No, folks. How do we start getting strong now? We need to get the mind of Christ. And as this person just mentioned, that comes from reading the Bible. It comes with familiarity with the Word of God and with prayer and hearing His Holy Spirit, His voice. It comes with practice, folks, with training. So now's the time to do that. Well, let's move on. Another letter. Okay, this comes from Jim. Dear Nathan, thank you for sharing this warning. The golf carts, three of them, may represent and be an example of the activities of many older people, including Christians who are using their retirement to play golf, to fish, to collect seashells, or whatever, rather than to prepare for the second coming by being busy and occupying about the affairs of God's global glory and kingdom. Golf carts are symbolic, especially of the lazy and slacking older retired folks. Only young people walk courses. The older people use golf carts. This is a warning away from frittering away our remaining days on fun and pleasure, but to focus on making the most of every day, week, month, and year to bring God greater and greater glory and giving many greater and greater opportunities to be functioning members of God's kingdom. You know, that's true, folks. In this letter, several things are mentioned. It compares the old versus the young, and the old right now are used to, well, comforts. They're used to not trying as hard because they're older, riding around in golf carts. But, you know, I want to take this even further. How many folks out there are actually accustomed to walking great distances because that's going to be the new normal? You know, in the old days, I remember hearing stories from our parents or grandparents who would walk to school. And, you know, you've heard that. School was several miles away. But it was true. People walked and they walked far. I remember growing up in the 70s in Texas. My friends and I walked everywhere, all over Pasadena, Texas. We would walk for miles, and it was no big deal. But of course, I was young. But now, you know, thinking about it, how many of us are accustomed to walking long distances? How many of us are in shape to be able to do that? Folks, think about that. Would that be hard for you? Would it be hard on your feet? Would it be difficult? And I know that not everyone can, because some of you have injuries, and some of you are actually incapacitated, you're bedridden, or you're you're homebound because of health reasons. So that doesn't really apply to you, but if at all possible, try to exercise a little bit. If it's possible, folks, try to park your car a little bit further from the front door of, you know, when you go to the store. You know, that's one of the things I always did. I would park far away so that I had to walk to the front door for exercise. The time is now, during peacetime, to become acquainted with our legs once again, just like we did when we were younger. So just want to throw that out. Think about it, folks. Start exercising. Start stretching. Start using your body once again. And, you know, I know it's easy to become lackadaisical. It's easy to become sedentary, immobile. It's easy to just sit around, you know, the couch potato mentality. But maybe this is a preemptive warning for all of us to try to exercise and get in shape. Become accustomed to walking. Anyway, moving on. Okay, now this one is a little bit spooky, I guess. This next letter, it comes from Liz. I just finished reading your sister's dream. I can't help but think that her passing through the dark tunnel to the light at the other side meant passing from this world to the next. Whoa. And then they go on and they say, many of us will not survive what is coming. Oh, man. You know, folks, as hard as it is to admit, there's truth to that. There is. Not everyone's going to survive. Some of us will end up. Of course, eventually all of us will, if the Lord tarries, we'll end up in glory. So if that's the case, though, that doesn't mean we should fret about it or be fearful. It means we should be ready. It means we should be prepared. It means we should have our lives in order. Salvation, folks. So let's look at the report that came out. The report was written by several doctors. The EMP Commission was formed to examine the threat. And they shared a lot of papers. But I want to talk about some of them here. And first of all, for those of you that aren't aware of what an EMP is or what it can do, an EMP is an electromagnetic pulse that can be generated in the air, over land, over a geographic region. And that pulse usually is caused by a nuclear device. And when it explodes, it gives off gamma rays that spread out to the ground below. And those gamma rays fry electronics. And an electromagnetic pulse usually happens in several waves. There's wave one, wave two, and wave three. And each one of them does a different amount of damage to the electronics below. So the question is, if this were to occur over the United States, if one of our adversaries like Russia or China or North Korea or Iran or another state or a rogue element, a non-state quote-unquote actor, a non-state terrorist were to explode a device like this over America, what would happen? What would the results be? Well, it depends on the strength of the EMP blast. And if it was done by a state adversary like Russia or China or North Korea or Iran, whoever uses it, they're going to have to make sure that they use it and that they go according to a very rigid, systematic schedule. They're going to have to make sure that they do it in a way that will cripple and make it impossible for the United States to respond. It can't be limited. It can't be regional in one part of the United States, but then another part of the United States can still respond, you know, with missiles or with submarines, Trident missiles, etc. So when the adversary uses a weapon like this, they're going to do it like an orchestra, like a symphony. They're going to do it with a plan that is so fail-safe and perfect that it would render the United States as a crippled country. It would forever change the United States. As I was reading these reports, it said this. It said that they've been working on this, folks. They have thought it through. And the end result, the end goal, the end game of all of this is to cripple the United States so that the United States could not respond, for example, in Europe. Because you see, if an EMP went off in the United States here in the mainland, and then Russia wanted to invade Europe, how would that work out? Well, Russia would have to make sure that the United States military was totally hobbled, locally, domestically, as well as worldwide. So when this thing does happen, it's going to be done in a way, in a fashion that not only affects the United States mainland, but if Russia and China do this, they're going to have to make sure that they also include our allies. In other words, Europe, NATO, the NATO countries to cripple Great Britain and our other allies, France, Italy, Germany, And the commission report talks about this. It has several scenarios on how it would play out if this were to occur. Now, I'm just going to read a few of the things that they say here in this report. Now, this report that I'm reading here is called The Nuclear EMP Attack Scenarios and Combined Arms Cyber Warfare. It's a long title, and it's written by Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. It was released in 2017, July, and it was declassified. There were portions of this report that were classified, but then it was declassified. But if you're reading the report, there's some parts that are blacked out because I guess they're still classified. But this thing is really enlightening, folks. Now, for the people that would say, well, Russia and China would never do this, they don't even think about it. It's not in their mindset to do something like this. Well, this report says otherwise. Let me just read something right here. It says, nuclear EMP attack is part of the military doctrines, plans, and exercises of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran for a revolutionary new way of warfare against military forces and civilian critical infrastructures using cyber, sabotage, and EMP. What does that mean? That means that using an EMP weapon against the United States is on the books. It's the military doctrine. It's the way that the generals in Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea think. They've thought about this. They have considered all of the different ways that they could cripple the United States. And since the United States has the most powerful military in the world, the United States has a lot of warships, aircraft carriers, planes, tanks. The United States outnumbers other countries by a large number. And Russia and China took this into account. And they realized that, you know, we can't face off with the United States mano a mano, face to face, fist to fist. We can't do it. So we have to do it in a different fashion. And that's why they came up with this. So it's a part of their military doctrine. And they have several names for it. It's called sixth generation warfare. Sixth generation. That's an interesting number because, you know, the United States just released the new plane that's going to service the United States for several years to come, the F-35 Lightning. Some of you are probably familiar with it. It's the new jet that can take off like a Harrier jet straight up off the ground. And the Navy, Air Force, and Marines, and the Army all ordered some of them. And depending on which branch of the military, it does different things, the F-35. But the F-35 is called a fifth generation plane. And the United States has boasted that the technology of the F-35 is so advanced, it's fifth generation. Fifth, folks. The military war doctrine of Russia and China and Iran and North Korea consider EMP warfare not fifth generation warfare. They consider it sixth generation. So they consider it above this new fancy plane that the United States has. Is that a concern? Is that just a name that they chose? Is it valid? Is it accurate? I think so. Because, you know, while the United States is boasting and enjoying the parades of its new airplane, what if that airplane could be rendered useless by one blast of a weapon that Russia has? What if that airplane that is supposed to be so high-tech and have missiles that can see from far away and has evasive radar, etc., what if that plane would be a sitting duck on the ground and an easy target to Russia and China using their sixth generation weapons? That's a concern, folks. And Russia has boasted that it does have a blaster that can isolate the aim of an EMP blast towards whatever target they want. They also have that. So EMP warfare is on the books. It's part of the military doctrines. It's part of the budgets. It's part of the research, the labors, and the developments, etc., of our adversaries. And according to the commission that studied all of this, they said we're in trouble, folks. If the United States had a war with Russia and China, and Russia and China decided to unveil these weapons, the United States wouldn't be able to resist. And Russia and China have other names for this military doctrine. They call it non-contact warfare, which it is. You know, from miles away, you render America's brand new jet fighter essentially worthless, harmless, defenseless. That's not good, folks. That is concerning. And it's disturbing. So they call it non-contact warfare, electronic warfare, total information warfare, and cyber warfare. Now, I shared this on a previous program, but I'll say it again. They also call it Cybergeddon, or blackout war, or combined arms cyber warfare. But Cybergeddon, folks, think about that. Armageddon caused by cyber warfare. How clever is that for Russia and China to do that? And here's the big question, folks. Is it outside the realm of possibility that Russia and China could use this sort of weapon against the United States and the land of the free and the home of the brave and the most powerful nation on earth would no longer be? Is it possible, folks? Is it possible to take the United States of America from first world superpower status to a limping country with a bloody nose that's licking their wounds on their side of the earth and no longer a threat to Russia and China or others? Is that possible? And, you know, when we look at the end times and the prophecies of the end times, and when we examine the political atmosphere that would exist when the tribulation period starts and the beast of the world takes over the world, when we look at that, you know, a lot of people look at it and they say, we're going to get there, it's going to happen. But most folks don't consider how we're going to get there or why we did go there. If the world is going to go from what we see now into this new creature that is a tyrant to all humans, I think that's a very important question to ask. What caused it? If the Bible predicts this and prophesies it, what's going to cause this? You know, a lot of folks look at the mark of the beast, you know, the speculation on RFID chips and the Real ID Act and how countries are forcing their citizens to get ID cards with a chip in them, etc. Those things are happening in different countries, and it's also happening in the United States. But in order for the entire world to be thrust into a banana republic, what would cause it? I think that it's going to take something very chaotic, very, very impactful. It's going to be something that is so life-changing to humans that humans would welcome a rescue. And if you can imagine a portion of the earth, you know, say NATO countries, European countries, the United States, and others, Canada, if you can imagine portions of first world countries that are crippled and the citizens are starving and the citizens are enduring, and then a remedy is presented to rescue the people so that they don't starve to death because everyone else around them is dying, what would people do? Would they welcome a remedy? Of course they would. Even if the remedy came with terms, and even if the remedy came with a tyrannical way of life, a lot of people would go for it. This is why I have it on the table and I'm willing to consider it. It's because, well, we know the Bible predicts the end result. So the big question is, what chaotic event will take us there? You know, order out of chaos, the order of the end time beast will rise out of the chaos. But what would the chaos be? I know some of us have speculated, well, it will be a world war, World War III. And then out of the ashes of World War III, the end time government will rise up. True, that's possible. It could happen that way. But what if included in the war was an EMP event? Could it happen? Indeed, it can. And Russia and China and North Korea and Iran know this. They know that that's the way. If you want to deal with the United States, the big guy, big brother, that's the way to do it. You know, a lot of Americans think that the rest of the world cowers when they think of the power of America's military might and force. But what if our adversaries actually have weapons that would be able to deal with the big, strong guy, you know, big, tough America? What if Russia and China have the ability to counter us and to actually strike a blow to America? What if they have the ability to strike a knockout blow, to really hurt us? Would they be afraid of us? Would they cower in fear? No, they wouldn't. And, you know, Putin's been talking about it already. In fact, in the last day or two, he talked about how they have a missile that is able to deal with us. When he gave his State of the Union speech, he talked about I have it right here. There's an article that came out, and this is all over the news, folks. You can just look it up yourself. It said, Putin warns the United States with new missiles aimed at Western capitals. The article says, Moscow will retaliate in kind. That means equally. If the U.S. deploys new missiles in Europe, Russian president says as he addressed the nation. In his State of the Union speech, he warned America against deploying missiles in Europe. And of course, Trump wants to do that. Trump wants to put missiles in Europe to counter any invasion into the Baltic region. So America is going to deploy missiles into Europe, but he doesn't like it. And he said he will retaliate in the same way by targeting Western capitals with his own new weaponry. Now, Western capitals, that's not limited to the United States. It's actually saying he will target our allies, Britain, Germany, France, Italy. And the reason Putin's saying this is because the United States, through a decision of Donald Trump, abandoned the 1987 treaty that we had with them, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. Trump didn't want to be a part of that. And Trump has said that he wants to build new missiles and update the missiles and make them stronger and make the military might of America imposing, et cetera, et cetera. And Putin doesn't like it. So since Trump pulled out of the treaty, Putin is now saying that, okay, we're back in the Cold War and we're going to have missiles pointing back at one another and it's going to be us threatening one another, waving our swords, all that mess that we used to live with when we were growing up. Folks, remember the Cold War? Well, it's back. And Putin is not very happy about it. But now, in addition to Putin just saying, hey, America, I will point missiles at you and I'm not going to tolerate it, etc., Putin has stated, he's letting all of us know, he's letting the world know that they have weapons that can deal with America. And one of the things that was mentioned is their Avangard hypersonic missile. They have a missile that can travel 10 to 20 times the speed of sound. The speed of sound is 700 and something miles an hour. So times 10 is 7,000 miles an hour. And times 20 would be 14,000 miles per hour. And the United States doesn't have anything to counter that. But Putin has his Avangard missile. And he says, you guys better watch it. And he can put a nuclear bomb on the tip of an Avangard hypersonic missile that goes 14,000 miles an hour. It's able to evade radar. It bobs and weaves. And it's designed to be able to survive the countermeasures of the West. So Putin has that. And China has it. Now, while Putin said this, after he said it, then NATO responded by saying they condemn Putin's unacceptable threats. So what Putin was doing was saying, you guys are putting missiles, extra missiles. You pulled out of the treaty that limited the weapons that both of us have, nuclear weapons, but you pulled out of it. So now you're going to start building more weapons and you're going to put nuclear weapons right next to us. We don't like that. And if we were to put ourselves in the shoes of Putin, it's not hard, folks, because remember the Cuban Missile Crisis when the Soviet Union was placing nuclear bombs in Cuba right off the coast of Florida, just a few hundred miles away from the United States mainland? Well, that is similar to what Putin feels like. That's why he's saying this. That's why he's trying to let us know that I don't like this, that you want to do this, and you're going to threaten me with this, so this is what I'm going to do. So, folks, this is not good, what's going on. And, you know, Putin is not just a bag of wind that says things and doesn't mean them. Putin's a serious guy. He worked for the KGB. He was a spy, and now he's a leader, almost 20 years now, of Russia. And he's not just giving us empty words. Because when we look at reality, Putin made threats to the United States. He let us know that he has his missile, and that's not the only one. They have several hypersonic missiles. They have another missile called the Satan missile. And these missiles are very fast. They're hypersonic. They're powerful. Well, Nathan, what about the United States? The United States has missiles too. So there, we can also do the same thing. Maybe so. But Russia does have them, folks. Russia is a formidable adversary. And then when you include China, and then you add in Iran and other nations, then we have a very formidable opponent that could hurt us. And then when we add in what we're talking about right now about the EMP threat that exists, that there was a committee to study it, and we've been talking about that. They studied the possibility of an EMP attack, and they also looked into the reality of the weapons that Russia does possess that can pull this off. And Russia has them. So does China. So does Iran and North Korea. You know, when North Korea was firing those missiles and then they exploded or they fell into the ocean and the United States looked at it and said, look, it can't even reach America. What a bunch of goofheads. North Korea is not a threat. They couldn't fire a missile that would reach us from North Korea. It only made it halfway. One of them exploded in the sky when North Korea did their experiment. Well, you know what was left out of that narrative, folks? What if North Korea fired a missile, okay, it could reach Japan or it could reach halfway across the Pacific. What if they fired it from a submarine off the coast of Los Angeles? And what if their missile, their little silly missile that went several hundred miles into the sky and then exploded and didn't make it into re-entry of the atmosphere, what if the whole purpose of their experiment was to see if they could fire off a missile from the coast of America, but it was simulated, of course, from North Korea. But what if when it was go time, they actually had the missile that could fire from the coast, from a submarine or from a cargo ship? It would be very easy. And the missile went 100 miles into the atmosphere and exploded up there, but it was an EMP missile. What if their whole experiment was for an EMP missile? And folks, that's what this report is saying. They're saying that North Korea has experimented with EMP missiles. It's on their books. It's on their military doctrine. They have talked about it. The generals have talked about it. They have written about it. Same thing with Iran. Iran also has the technology, as well as Russia and China. So they have been working on asymmetric methods to be able to combat the United States of America, to be able to cripple the United States of America with weapons that we can't even imagine. So this report says that an EMP attack is part of the military doctrines of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. They call it sixth generation warfare, and their method of attack entails detonating a nuclear weapon at such a high altitude that possibly people would not even see it, especially if it was during the day. Most people wouldn't know it happened, so it would be an event that was unexpected. And if they were to use a weapon like this, they do not consider it to be a nuclear weapon. They don't consider it to be crossing the line of nuclear warfare and thereby doing something illegal. So in their eyes, it's a method to deal with America without crossing the line of nuclear warfare, because the missile would not land on the ground and explode everything. It would not flatten cities. It wouldn't turn American cities into glass parking lots. So in a way, it falls into the gray area where they could use it and not be blamed as doing something illegal. But they have the weapon, folks. And Russian General Vladimir Slepchenko said in his military textbook, Non-Contact Wars, he stated that Russia could use a combination of several types of warfare, of new sixth-generation warfare, that uses cyber viruses and hacking to infiltrate the power grid and the financial system of America, the banking system, and also using physical attacks with non-nuclear EMP weapons. So if Russia were to try to cripple the United States, General Vladimir Slepchenko says that it would be done with a three-prong approach: virus attack, and then hacking into the networks and the financial system of America, and then firing off an EMP. So they would cripple the financial system at the same time the EMP showed up. And then, after the power grid was down, the shield was down, basically, of America. Because, you know, we have NORAD in Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs that looks into the sky and is always watching for missile attacks. Well, after an EMP event, how much of that would be affected? Well, they've thought about all this. So if they were able to use different kinds of weapons, cyber attacks, which would get into the Pentagon's computers. Now, do they have that ability to do that? Good question, huh, folks? But apparently they hint that they can. So they would attack us that way. They would also attack the financial system. And then they would do an EMP to take down the power grid. Then the shields would be down.
Captain, the shields are down, Captain.
So America would not be protected. And then the Russian general goes on and says, after that, then they could use another EMP weapon that was nuclear to take down the remaining power grids and critical infrastructure. And he says that this is a new way of warfare that is the greatest revolution in military affairs. That's what he calls it, RMA, Revolution in Military Affairs. It would be the greatest revolution in history. So the general has stated that he sees this method as a departure from the traditional ways of warfare of the past. You know, facing off face to face, mano a mano, you know, one warship fighting against another warship, or dogfights with planes. That's not the way that they're going to do it. They're going to do it this way. And this is what they've been studying. In his writings, he went on to say that in all preceding generations of war, you know, wars that we've had in the past, the weapons that were used were against targets primarily that were by kinetic or chemical or thermal energy. A missile's fired off to destroy a warehouse or a factory. That's kinetic and chemical and thermal energy. It's heat, there's an explosion, and there's the momentum of the missile. That's the old way, he said. He said now there's a new way. And this new way is going to be used in wars of the future. And he says that the weapons that they have now are based on new physical principles that have the ability to have an electromagnetic effect. They say that such weapons will be capable of suppressing practically all classic electronic equipment, which will then cause the melting or evaporation of metal in the printed circuit boards and causing structural changes in electronic elements. So for some people that wonder, well, is the EMP weapon that Russia or China has, is it able to hurt all electronics, or will it just hurt some? Or, you know, people wonder about it. Well, according to the general, he says that it would actually be able to melt the metal in circuit boards and cause structural changes in electronic components. So that must be some pretty strong stuff that they've developed. So this is very disturbing, folks, when we look at it. This is not an enemy that would face us in fear. According to the general, they have the ability to do this. And in his writing, he goes on. He says their EMP weapons and their RMA methods, which is Revolution in Military Affairs, that's the acronym. He says, according to their EMP and the new Revolution in Military Affairs, they now have the ability to render modern armies obsolete. He says that their weapons have the ability to make the Navy of the United States and the Air Force of the United States obsolete. And for the first time in history, small nations or even non-state actors, which would be terrorists or rogue elements, can humble the most advanced nations on Earth. Now, folks, that is not an empty threat. This is some serious stuff. And for those that are wondering, well, would they ever do it? Have they actually thought about doing this to America? Well, in this report, this congressional report, it says, according to another Russian article, because I'm reading the report, I have it in front of me, it says nuclear war strategy from Russia has already planned nuclear explosions. They have already figured out how they would do it. And they say that they would explode them at an altitude of 50 to 100 kilometers to destroy all the enemy satellites and the electronic instruments with an EMP pulse. So when Russia does say it's go time, and when they decide it's time to do this, they're also going to destroy the satellites that we depend on, that the Pentagon depends on, that NORAD depends on, to be able to be the eyes in the sky. So Russia is not only going to turn off the lights at ground level, they're also going to turn off the eyes that are in the sky. And in their writings, they say their nuclear war strategy has already planned nuclear explosions to get rid of the satellites that America depends on. Now, this technology is not brand new with Russia. They have had this for a while. In fact, in 1999, Russia made a thinly veiled EMP threat against the United States. They did it on May 2nd in an apparent effort to blackmail the United States to stop the Balkans War. And during the spring of 1999, tensions between the United States and Russia rose sharply because Operation Allied Force and NATO were conducting a bombing campaign in Yugoslavia. And back then, Russia didn't like it, and they threatened that they could put a stop to it. And during that time of the Serbian War, the war in Yugoslavia, when we were bombing Serbia, you remember that, folks? On May 2nd, 1999, Deputy Chairman Alexander Shabanov from Russia chastised the United States for the military aggression that they said we were doing in Yugoslavia. And he said this. He said, hypothetically, if Russia wanted to hurt the United States in retaliation for the bombing in Yugoslavia, they could, and this is what he said, folks, this is 20 years ago. He said they could fire a submarine-launched ballistic missile and detonate a nuclear warhead at high altitude over the United States. And then he said the result would be an electromagnetic pulse that would massively disrupt United States communications and computer systems, and it would shut down everything. There would be no internet. There would be nothing. And then he went on to say, and if that didn't work, we would just launch another missile. So Russia has had this technology. They know how to do it. They've thought of it. It's in their books. So they're not afraid of us. And in addition to Russia, China also has the same military doctrine. And it's an identical doctrine that Russia has. They have talked about the revolutionary implications of EMP and information warfare. And according to the Chinese Army, the PLA textbook, they have written, this is China, they have a book called World War, the Third World War, Total Information Warfare. And in that book, they have been perfecting the technology. Now, China has stated that if they were to attack America, they understand that America does have the ability to retaliate. However, they have also written that as soon as the United States computer networks come under attack and are destroyed, then the United States will slip into a state of paralysis and the lives of its people will ground to a halt. They've talked about it, folks. So the question is, will they do it? Is it going to happen? Would Russia and China and Iran use such a weapon against the United States or against the allies of America? Well, the world's becoming more of a powder keg every day. It is, folks. And the developments that are taking place now that Donald Trump is the president have become very, very strained. And if and when this thing takes place, the world is going to be thrust into a horrible, horrible period of time. And when the time comes, if Russia decides to do this, they're going to also attack NATO. And this article goes into it. It has a scenario of Russia attacking NATO and Europe. And it says Russia has a wide variety of missile systems that could execute a nuclear EMP attack. And their military doctrine regards EMP attack as the ultimate cyber weapon. And they also view it as the key to decisive victory in a future war. So you see, folks, it's not just something they have sitting on the shelf that they would blow the dust off and say, well, let's try this because nothing else has worked. No. EMP warfare is a part of their doctrine and a military tactic that they would probably use at the very beginning, at the onset of a war. And they view it as the ultimate weapon. And in their military doctrine, they have said that the use of an EMP weapon would exploit shock and awe to intimidate the adversary into negotiation and surrender. Into surrender. So Russia has these weapons. Now, the article has a few scenarios. I just want to read some of them in this report. Some of them are interesting, some of them are disturbing, and some of them are outright scary. So watch this, folks. It says, some plausible scenarios for EMP attacks against North America include the following. Number one, this is one of the scenarios. Russia strikes Canada. So when Russia strikes Canada, then the United States retaliates with long-range conventional bomber and cruise missile strikes because of the Russian aggression. So Russia makes an EMP warning shot against Canada that also damages the United States. So Canada is put in the dark by an EMP, but Russia fires it over Canada to let the United States know, hey, look what we did to Canada, we can also do it to you. But when they do that, it also damages the United States' early warning radars and the National Missile Defense in Alaska. So when the EMP goes off over Canada, it's going to affect some of those radars, and it will affect the one in Alaska. And Russia will do this, hoping that the United States will back off and stop fighting. But will they? At the same time, it says China strikes the United States. So now we have a two-fist punch. And it goes on to say, in the midst of an escalating conflict with the United States over Taiwan and the South China Sea, China makes an EMP attack, blacking out the mainland United States, 48 states, hoping to knock the U.S. out of the war. So now we have the United States fighting China because of the South China Sea, and we're fighting over the real estate in the water over there. But China then blacks us out, the lower 48. So Canada is now blacked out by Russia, and the missile shield has been taken down in Alaska, and then China strikes the United States. And then it goes on. Then Iran strikes the United States. The former Obama administration is wrong, the report says, and critics are right, which stated that Iran already has nuclear missiles and can make an EMP attack against the United States by satellite, which Iran does to destroy the great Satan that is the United States. So Iran has the ability, according to this report, to place a nuclear missile on a satellite and then have it fly over America. No one sees it at all. It has no exhaust. It has no jet exhaust to follow the path because it comes from space. Iran possesses that and then uses it against the United States. Another scenario is Al-Qaeda strikes the U.S. Where did Al-Qaeda get a missile?
Well, they got it from North Korea or Iran that provides Al-Qaeda with a nuclear-armed short or medium-range missile from a freighter. This is from a ship offshore. And from the freighter, they can fire it off and do the same thing, an EMP attack. You know, if a missile is fired from a ship right off the coast of America, how many countermeasures does the United States have to take that thing down immediately? Folks, how many? Do we have missile batteries all over the United States to stop such a thing? Do we? But if this were to happen, there's a chance that it could work, right, folks? And then another scenario is, now, this one's interesting. North Korea strikes Texas. And in this scenario, it says North Korea makes an EMP attack using a Scud missile launched from a freighter, from a ship in the Gulf of Mexico, to black out the Texas electric grid as a warning shot for the United States to stop aggressive military exercises and deployment of the High Altitude Area Defense, which is the THAAD missile defense in South Korea. So that's another scenario that could take place. And North Korea does have missiles that can do this. So which scenario is it going to be? Which one will it be? Which one would do it? And how bad would the damage be, folks? According to this report, it says after whoever does it, whichever nation does it, or whichever rogue element does it, after it occurs, after it explodes in the sky, there's no coming back after that. There's no coming back, folks, because everything after that point will be in blackout and nothing will work. It goes on to say that the EMP will spark, now watch this, folks, the EMP will spark widespread fires, explosions, and all kinds of industrial accidents because the safety measures that exist in refineries and factories, in nuclear reactors, etc., will no longer function. So some of the equipment's going to start overheating and there's going to be fires, all kinds of industrial accidents. And it goes on to say firestorms will rage in cities and in the forests. The forests of America will be on fire. The green trees will be on fire. And whoa, folks, think about this. If there's forest fires going on, we're not going to have planes that are able to dump the fire retardant on them. We will not have the ability for firefighters to fight the forest fires. How will that play out? No firefighters and buildings and cities are on fire. So if buildings catch on fire in cities or in industrial zones, it's going to create a firestorm. The fires will spread. The embers will spread. And we saw that in California. The embers and the fire tornadoes and the weather that firestorms are able to create, they get a mind of their own, don't they? That's what this article says. Firestorms will rage in cities and forests. And then there will be toxic clouds that will pollute the air. And chemical spills will poison already polluted lakes and rivers. Oh, man. Now think about that, folks. Industrial pollution, industrial spills because they will not be able to be prevented anymore. This is a recipe for disaster. It goes on. Within 7 days, the over 100 nuclear power reactors in America. Now, folks, think of this. America has over 100 nuclear power plants. And it says in 7 days, all of them will run out of emergency power and go Fukushima. Now, that right there is terrifying. Could that really happen? And what would the outcome be? For those people who live around reactors, what would the outcome be? Well, when Fukushima had its event, the reports that talked about it actually stated that there was an actual nuclear explosion that happened in Fukushima. It was a hydrogen explosion, and it threw a plume of radiation into the sky. Wow, folks, this is disturbing. So it says that 100 nuclear reactors go Fukushima, and then they spread radioactive plumes over, oh man, folks. It says it spreads radioactive plumes over the most populous half of the United States, and that's on the East Coast of the United States. Folks, can you imagine? And then it goes on, it gets worse. There is not even any drinking water, and the national food supply in regional warehouses begins to spoil in 3 days. You know the warehouse where Walmart stores all their food and the Walmart trucks are regularly 24/7 taking new shipments to all the Walmarts? Well, that stops. That comes to a halt. No food delivery will take place to any food outlet. None of the stores will have food. Shelves will be empty, and any food that is available will spoil within 3 days. Now, how bad will that be? Well, it says there is only enough food to feed 320 million people for 30 days anyway. So that means the whole population of the United States will not have access to food. And if people didn't have food saved in their house or had ability to have extra food stored up, most of the country will not have the ability to replenish their food stockpiles. So what's the end game? What's the final result? What says in the next sentence, and this is the most disturbing thing out of all. In 1 year, as some EMP experts have warned for over a decade, within 1 year, 9 out of 10 Americans are dead. 9 out of 10. And they are dead from starvation, from disease, or from societal collapse. And that would, of course, be the advent of dog-eat-dog, people acting like Lord of the Flies, people acting like pirates and vagabonds and rogues, taking from one another, stealing from one another. Lawlessness would be the rule of the land. It would be ultimate chaos. We would be thrown back to the days of survival of the fittest, of Mad Max. And then in the final sentence, it says, the United States of America ceases to exist. So could this happen, folks? Could it happen? And more than that, has it been planned already? You know, there's a website, and some of you are familiar with it, Deagle.com. You heard of it, folks? Deagle. Deagle is spelled Deagle.com. If you have a pen and paper, you can write this down. Deagle. Now, what is Deagle? Deagle is a website that talks about the regular arms sales of countries all around the world. It has regular updated reports of all the companies, all the defense contractors who made a sale to different countries. It's in real time. It's always reporting. And you have to wonder, if this was a private website from some guy that had a hobby, how is he able to keep up with every arms sale all over the world? And a lot of people have speculated, including myself, that this is a CIA front. And the purpose of it is to, well, to let everybody know what their plans are. And if you go to their website, Deagle.com. Folks, if you have the ability to do this please. Deagle.com. It opens up to the sales. Right here, I'm looking at it. It shows upcoming air shows and exhibitions and the sales of weapons. And if you go to the bottom and you scroll down to the links at the very bottom, I'm looking at it on the desktop, so I don't know what it looks like on a phone. In fact, let me do that. I will bring it up on my phone and I'll tell you what it looks like. Deagle.com. Okay, so I see it. It looks pretty much how it does on the desktop. So if you go to the very bottom, it says visit our channel at YouTube. And then there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows of links. Combat aircraft, space systems, support aircraft, auxiliary vessels. That's the first row. If you go to the very right where it says other info, and other info is in red, right under other info, it says countries. So if you click on countries, here's where it gets weird. It brings up a list of countries all around the world. Now, if you open up the list of countries, it brings up the United States, China, Japan, and it shows the population of these countries right now at present. So it says the United States has 326 million people. China has 1.38 billion. That's right now. But if you go to the top where it says there are 209 countries listed below, view year 2025 forecast. So if you can go to the top of that, it's at the top of the page. There are 209 countries, view 2025 forecast. Click that link, view 2025 forecast, and it brings up their forecast that shows what they believe the population of 200 countries will be in 5 years from now. 5 years from now. And it shows that China, 5 years from now, will lose approximately 22 million people. So their population right now is 1,380,000,000. But in the year 2025, their population will be 1,358,000,000. So it's only reduced by 22 million people. But their GDP is going to go up to 16 trillion. Under that is the next nation is India. And it says India's population is going to go up to 1.3 billion. 5 years. It says Russia. Now, okay, Russia's population is going to go down in 5 years. Right now it says they have 142 million, but in 5 years they're going to have 141.8 million. So they're only going to lose 500,000 people, according to this. 500,000, 500,000 people. Russia's population, according to this report, through this website, Russia's population is going to go down by 500,000 people. That's not really many. China's went down 22 million. Russia's will go down 500,000. Now, if you go down to the United States, which is number six, it says that presently the United States population is 326 million right now. But in 5 years from now, the population of the United States is going to, now get this, folks, in 5 years, America's population is going to be 99 million. So that means that the population is going to go down by 227 million, or about 70% of the United States is going to die. 70%. Population of America, according to this website, is going to be reduced by 70% in 5 years. Why does it say that? How do they know this? And it's interesting that the top five, China, India, Russia, and Brazil, are BRIC nations, and they're not really hurting. They're not going to go down that much. Now, Japan is number four, and it says Japan's going to go down from 126 to 103 million. So what is that, 23 million they're going to go down? But the United States is going to go down over 200 million. It goes on, Indonesia's will go up, Mexico's is going to go up, but then it says Italy. Now, Italy's a NATO nation, and I noticed that NATO nations and Western Alliance nations are all going down. Italy goes from 62 million down to 43 million in 5 years. France goes from 67 million down to 39 million. Canada goes from 35 million down to 26 million. So that's like 25% of Canada dies. South Korea goes from 51 million to 37 million. Pakistan goes up. Iran goes down 100,000 people. That's it. Thailand goes down 4 million. Turkey goes down about 8 million. Egypt goes up. Malaysia goes up. So this is just very interesting, folks, and it's disturbing. Germany's number 22. Oh, man. Look at Germany's population. Right now, Germany has 81 million people, 80,590,000, so almost 81 million. And it says in 5 years, their population is going to be 28 million. They're going to go from 80 to 28. That is substantial. Why? Why would Germany's population go down that much? Same thing with Spain. Spain goes from 48 million to 27 million. Australia goes from 23 million to 15 million. So all the Western states are decreasing. Why, ladies and gentlemen? This is crazy. Even Switzerland goes down. Switzerland goes from 8 million to 5 million. And then we have the United Kingdom, number 47, the United Kingdom. This is disturbing, folks. The United Kingdom goes from 65 million or 66 million down to 14 million. That is substantial. Again, a Western nation, a NATO nation, decreases in population. What is going on here? Why do they have this? This is disturbing, folks. Is this true? Is it possible? Do these people actually know? Are they trying to tell us something? So if you have the ability to look at this, you will see how disturbing it is. Now, Israel's number 78. Israel right now has 8.3 million people, 8.3 million. And it says in 5 years, Israel's going to have 3.9 million. So more than half of Israel will be gone. So again, ladies and gentlemen, why? Decrease in population. Why? How do the people know this? The United States goes from, again, if you didn't hear that number, the United States goes from 326 million to 99 million. It also says that the GDP, the gross domestic product of the United States, which is now almost 20 trillion a year, will go down to 2.5 trillion. So the United States will no longer be a superpower. Is this true, folks? Could an EMP do this, or will this be the result of a war of some sort? What is it? Well, I don't know how it's going to play out, folks, but I do know this. God has been trying to warn his people for a long time that dire days are ahead, that disturbing days are ahead, that judgment is coming, that God is going to shake the earth, it's going to shake the heavens, and if this is how it's going to play out, then what is our responsibility? I know that this sounds scary. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or next week. I'm not saying that. I'm just sharing with you as a watchman from the wall in a report that's legitimate. So what is the responsibility of God's people? What should we be doing about this? Well, number one, we should be making sure that we're getting our lives in order, that we're getting our hearts right with God, that there is nothing that separates us from God. There is nothing, no sin or anything that would prevent us from being protected by God if something like this were to happen. Nothing can get in the way, folks. So I'm going to end with this. I know this is a long program. I know I said a lot of things. I said some disturbing things. I do not wish for this to be sensational and just scary. But folks, there could be merit to what I'm sharing here. The report I bring to you is tangible. It's real. It was put out by a committee that was authorized by the regular yearly National Defense Authorization Act. And this thing's legit, folks. So will Russia decide to do it? I find it interesting that Putin is waving his sword. He's not happy. My sister had a prophetic dream. I reported that others have shared what their thoughts are on this. Others have had prophetic dreams. And now this, the report. So your job at this point is to take these matters to God in prayer, pray about them, ask Him what to do, which would include spiritual and practical preparation. Now, number one, ladies and gentlemen, is spiritual preparation. That always comes first. Get your hearts right with God. Make sure that there is nothing that separates you from His protection. Make sure that your house is covered. There are no breaches, no spiritual breaches, or anything that can get in the way of God's protection. And then after that, seek Him for guidance on what to do as far as practical preparation. Ask Him. Now, I do want to say this, folks. Please do not allow yourself to become overwrought with fear to the point where you act impulsively or emotionally and make decisions that are not of God, and instead make decisions that are reactionary instead of being led by the Spirit. Please don't do that, folks. Be sure that God leads you. Use wise counsel. Use common sense. If you want to do anything that does seem radical or pretty extreme, make sure you find counsel. Make sure you pray about it. Make sure you fast and pray about it. Make sure that you discuss it with others who are wise to help you not do something that's reactionary. So we do have to be wise in the ways that we conduct ourselves, the way that we navigate. It has to be the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. All right, folks? So with that, I'm going to close. But before I do, I just want to ask you to remember us. Folks, this is what I do. I bring you warnings. I bring you spiritual admonitions, challenges, encouragement. Nathan, how can this be encouraging? You just told us the United States is going to lose a large portion of their population. That's not encouraging to me, Nathan. That's true, my friend. In the natural, it's not. But in the spiritual, and when we look at the end time narrative and when we compare it to the Bible, folks, this world's not our home. And the Bible does tell us that eventually this world's going to burn. God's going to light it up. God's going to pour out His wrath on it. God's going to pour the bowl judgments. He's going to allow different things to take place to bring the earth back into alignment with Eden. But before He does that, before He comes and returns and restores the earth, all creation groans and it's waiting to be restored. But before He does that, He's going to sift the earth. He's going to put the earth in a blender. He's going to put the earth through a trial of fire. And on the other side, His children will come out. So that's our homework, folks. That's the homework. I don't come to you with your best life now and telling you how you can just prosper here on earth and to take a tent peg and an anchor and drive it into the ground and attach it to your ankle with a chain, thereby making you attached to this world. I don't do that, folks. Now, some of the old motivational preachers out there, they'll do it. And some of those gnar gospel preachers, well, they'll do it because they advertise how the earth has to be restored by them and the earth has to be made ready by them and the earth has to have the spiritual renewal done by the apostolics, which is a lie. That is not true. There you go, folks. I bring you the truth. So remember us in your prayers and remember us in your support. Remember us, folks, because without you, we cannot do this. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. All right, folks. Well, I know this was a serious program. It was. Share it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family, with your spiritual leaders. Ask them to take a look at it, to listen to it. Let them check it out, folks. But share it. And also pray for us. Pray for us here at Watchman's Cry. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers because without Jesus, we can do nothing. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, continue in your vigilance, my friend. Continue in seeking God. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.